This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is brought to you by Bethlehem College, where students study the great books in light of the greatest book for the sake of the Great Commission. Life trajectories are set for young men and women in the pivotal period between the ages of 18 and 25. At Bethlehem College, students wrestle with these realities, not in a 200-person classroom, but a 200-person college. Bethlehem calls this approach education in serious joy and delivers it at one of the lowest tuition rates in American Christian higher education, only about $7,500 a year. Bethlehem College, education in serious joy. To apply or learn more, visit bcsmn.edu/TGC. That's bcsmn.edu/TGC.
Hi, my name's Courtney Doctor, and I'm the Director of Women's Initiatives at the Gospel Coalition. My friends and I lovingly refer to the women we see once a year at TGCW as our camp friends, because the time we enjoy together at a conference feels just like a week at camp. And I want to encourage you to invite your camp friends, the people you want to sit beside as you listen to great teaching, worship, stay up late chatting about theology and life, and just have fun. And if you don't have camp friends to bring, come and meet some new ones. The final price increase is on May 8th. This is your last chance to save on your registration. Sign up at tgcw24.org. I really hope to see you there. That's tgcw24.org.
Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org.
This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by Baker Books, presenting The Gospel of Our King by Bruce Ashford and Heath Thomas, an accessible overview showing how the Bible is one overarching story that addresses every aspect of our mission and worldview. Pre-order a copy at bakeracademic.com. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with Russell Moore, Trevin Wax, and Scott Sauls on whether pastors should use social media.
So brothers, we're living in a digital age, and I know there are a lot of pastors who are wondering how should we engage in this world of social media? We want to be communicators of biblical gospel truth in the different spheres of influence we've been given. But the question comes up, how do we do this with social media? One of the questions that some pastors will raise is, should we even be involved in social media? Would you say that a pastor needs to be engaged in Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and things like this? What kind of counsel should we give as we're helping pastors think through this?
Well, every generation is on social media. The older you are, the more oriented you are toward Facebook, mid-range Twitter, young people, Instagram. And so seems like maybe, like Luther used the printing press, we ought to consider a healthy life-giving use of technology, great opportunity for small touches, especially for pastors who are leading congregations that are larger than their own relational capacity. I've found it actually a really helpful way to have personal touches, small personal touches with people I otherwise might not even know who are part of my own church. And so it's been really helpful and fruitful that way. The danger is kind of the highlight reel aspect, and
what do you mean by that?
Just presenting the the best parts of your life and your ministry, not telling the whole truth about your life and your ministry, and that becomes a potential integrity issue. And I think, too, that pastors get in trouble when we respond to kind of the outrage culture as participants rather than as diffusers. I think, on the positive side, social media can be a tremendous opportunity to demonstrate what it means to respond healthy to unfair criticism, trolling, as they call it, things of that sort. So it can be an opportunity to be a good example. It also can be an opportunity to ruin your witness, just depending on how you engage with the kind of the debate aspects and the argumentative aspects of social media.
Yeah, I would say that there's not a rule that I would give to every person in ministry about social media. What I would say is you need to recognize and know that your people in your mission field, as Scott says, are on social media. But then a lot of the determination of how you use it is really going to depend upon your own particular vulnerabilities and knowing that. So there are some people who are drawn toward being quarrelsome, as Paul forbids us to be. And social media can be a real point of vulnerability toward that kind of pugilistic side. There are other people who are kind of looking at social media the way a politician looks at approval ratings constantly. How am I doing? Which is that is not a good read of what's happening, because everybody in your church who hates you may well say that on social media. But the people who say, I really am praying for my pastor, typically aren't going on and saying that. They assume everybody else is. And so if that's a point of vulnerability, kind of finding your identity in what's going on for in either direction, then I would say find some other way to engage in social media.
I think one of the things that I am thinking about as a teaching pastor who is using social media and writing some is I'm thinking about this platform as a way to help the people in my congregation interpret the world through a Christian framework. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm always getting it right as I'm going, but I see it as an extension of, there are certain topics and certain things and interesting things that I might share, that I might discuss or make mention of online that I wouldn't be appropriate in a Sunday sermon or in a normal teaching environment in a congregation. And yet, social media gives me the opportunity to make comment on something or pass along something of interest, something that would help people along in the way they may be thinking about the world or wondering how do we interpret certain events. But we have to be careful when we do this, because the dangers of us being sort of sucked into, like you said, the outrage machine or being succumbing to our vulnerabilities online, the dangers there to be sucked into that kind of an outrage culture where we may think we are warrioring for Jesus Christ online, but if we're engaging just like everyone else, then we really are being just like the world, regardless of the particular stance that we're taking online, biblical or not.
Gentle answer turns away wrath.
Absolutely.
Again, I think it's a good potential platform to demonstrate what that looks like, and in that can be a wonderful discipleship tool. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, because in so doing you'll save those, who hear." And this is our platform. This is part of what a minister's platform can be in this day and age. And if you look at Generation Z and even the millennial generation, I mean, they're natives now. This is their native tongue. And I mean, to say that you can't or shouldn't speak via social media to younger generations in particular is like saying, well, you ought to maybe try to pastor an English-speaking congregation chiefly by speaking Spanish. I know that's a little bit extreme and hyperbolic, but if you're not connected online, you lose a pretty significant opportunity, especially with younger folks who live that world.
Do we also face the danger, though, of I hear that, and I'm thinking some people may be watching this, and the pushback might be, We live in a broadcast culture where so much of, if it's not posted online, did it really happen kind of a culture. And you see that all in all generations in particular. Everything has to be captured and photographed and then put online. Is there the danger that pastors may confuse social, some who are very active on social media, that pastors may confuse their social media use with actual, take this as the sign that they are faithfully pastoring, when so much of pastoral ministry is not broadcast? It's one-on-one, it's personal, it's in at the hospital bedside and in other places.
Well, that's especially true if someone is, again, if you come back to that point of vulnerability, if someone is having to be constantly engaging in a particular social media platform in a way that absents the ability to be able to think and reflect. Then that's someone who says, I need to find a way. Maybe I do this, but I do it in more scheduled sorts of ways. I think that's something that we ought to pay attention to. I mean, the life of Jesus, withdrawing, engaging. I think the same thing's true with social media.
So engaging intentionally, carefully, knowing our vulnerabilities and trying to be a pastoral presence in the spaces where people are at. Thank you, brothers.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Learn more and join us at tgc.org/donate.